Lord. Acts chapter 8, I hope you got your Bible. You know, today we baptize, and a lot of people wonder what baptism's all about. And growing up, my family didn't go to church. I wasn't saved. And then later on, my mama got saved, but I didn't. As a teenager, I was rebellious and didn't go to church. I'd never seen a baptism. I'd never seen a baptism live. Now, I said those on the movies, you know, where they're singing about going down to the river. That don't mean nothing. But I'd never seen a live baptism until after I got saved. A few weeks later, my wife and I showed up one Sunday night at church, and the preacher said, "You getting baptized tonight?" I said, "What?" He said, "You getting baptized." I said, "Am I supposed to?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Let's do it." Let's do it. But I didn't know what baptism was all about. And so today, I'd like to take this story in Acts chapter 8 and show you a perfect example of why believers in Jesus Christ are baptized according to the Word of God, not church tradition. I don't care anything about any tradition. I want to know, what does the Bible say? We're Baptists. We go by the Bible. That's our final authority. We don't have any presidents or secretaries or votes or all that stuff. We got the inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God. And that's what we go by. Okay. Now, so a lot of people want to know about who, what, when, and where about being baptized. What does this mean? Why are you doing this? When do you get believers' baptism? So let's look at Acts chapter 8, verse 25. In Acts chapter 8, verse 25, he says, "And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip." Philip was one of the deacons preaching, saying, "Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia." Now that would be Africa. Ethiopian, a black man. "An eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship, and was returning and sitting in his chariot, and Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like as a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. And in his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speak the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, Now listen. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went his way rejoicing. Amen. The eunuch did. Went his way rejoicing. He was happy to be saved. Amen. Now the baptism didn't save him. He got baptized because he was already a believer. He said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest be baptized. And he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ that day. And he was born again that day. Amen. In this story, I want to show you the who, what, when, and where, but I want to show you a little bit different. Number one, I want to show you where. Philip, the deacon, is in Jerusalem. He's preaching. Jesus has died for our sins. He's risen from the dead. He's preached about 50 days here on earth. He's ascended up to heaven. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father interceding for us. Now Philip, one of the deacons, he's in Jerusalem preaching. Peter's preaching. Others are preaching. Thousands of people are receiving Christ as their Savior. Thousands are being born again and getting baptized. The news has gotten all the way to North Africa. The news has gotten all the way to North Africa. So here's this man, a eunuch. That means he was not married, could not be. He was a servant of the queen of Ethiopia. And so he's got great authority. He's an educated man. He's reading. He's an educated man. He's an intelligent man. He's not a superstitious man. If he was, he'd still be down there in Africa worshiping a cow or something. But he's a seeker of truth. And where's he at? Out in the middle of the desert. How did he get there? Well, he went to Jerusalem seeking the truth. He heard that the God-man was in Israel. He heard that Jesus Christ was the Savior, had come to save sinners. And he went to Jerusalem to find the Savior. But he went to the temple. And when he went to the temple, Jesus wasn't there. Jesus already ascended up into heaven. And he went to the temple and he's going home disappointed. And on his way going in that chariot, he's reading the book of Isaiah. And as he's reading Isaiah chapter 53, where it says, he was wounded for our transgression. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit tells Philip, stop preaching over here where this all these people's getting saved, but there's more preachers here. I got a big job for you. And so he takes him all the way out to the desert of Gaza. And he goes out in the desert and he spots this chariot going out across there, a man reading Isaiah while he's going. And Philip runs up beside him. He runs up beside him. Now, that's when a Baptist preacher lost all his dignity, wasn't it? And boy, he run up beside him and he said, understandest what thou readest? And that African black man looked down at that Jew and said, how can I except some man guide me? In other words, I don't understand this. And so God had sent Philip into the wilderness, into the desert, to preach Jesus to a seeker who had already been to Jerusalem, and he's going home unsatisfied. Can I stop right here and tell you this? No religious building, no religious ceremony, no religious institution will satisfy a sinner's heart. Now, it might satisfy your flesh a little bit, make you feel like you did something good. When I was lost and going to hell, I'd go to church every once in a while, and I'd leave feeling better than I went to church that day, but I didn't feel saved. And this man's going home, and he's disappointed. He has not met the Savior, and God knows your heart, and he knows who's seeking, and he knows where you are.
Amen.
You think God didn't know that man was there? You think God didn't know that man had traveled all the way from Africa looking for him? You think that God didn't know that man went in that temple and found it was full of hypocrites and everything, and they couldn't help him? So you think God didn't know that man was disappointed going home? Out in the middle of the desert, and God got him right where he needs him. Nobody else around. No religion around. No religious ceremonies around. But he's got the inerrant word of God, and he's reading out of Isaiah, and faith comes by him. Hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Hey, he went down there talking to priests. You're not going to get any help out of a priest or a preacher. Amen. Amen. Look, you need the word of God.
Amen.
David, we baptized him. He said, I hope I got saved. I said, did you ask him? He said, yeah. I said, he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, didn't he? He said, yeah. I said, God don't play.
Amen.
He means what he says. And if you mean what you say, he'll mean what he says. Amen?
Yeah.
And that's where he got his assurance right there. Not by me, but by me telling him what the Bible said. So that's where. Out in the middle of a desert. And you know what? Sometimes God's got to get you out in the middle of a desert to talk to you. That desert of heartbreak, that desert of sin, that desert of disappointment, that desert of destruction, desert of sickness. I've led many people to Christ in a hospital bed.
Yes.
At the last minute. Amen?
Amen.
Now you listen to me. It doesn't matter where. Doesn't matter where.
That's right.
The next question I asked was this. Who is this man? Who is this man? Well, undoubtedly God thinks Black Lives Matter. He's a black man. God thinks all lives matter. Amen. You don't need to carry a sign to convince me of that. You certainly don't need to set my house on fire to convince me of that. Amen. Listen, God loves everybody. Here's a sinner. That's who he was. He's a sinner looking for a savior. And guess what? How many sins does it qualify to become a sinner? One. Well, a preacher used to come see me. I'd say, Pastor, when I quit cussing and lying and drinking liquor and running around this crowd, I'll get saved. And he said, boy, you're going to die and go to hell. I said, I thought that's what Christians were. He said, that's what they're supposed to be. All of them ain't. I said, I thought that's what made you Christian. He said, it's not. Amen. It's not. Here's this man. He had great authority. He had money. He had wealth. He lived in a castle. But he was reading the Bible. Now here's a man that's seeking the truth. And I know he was because he's reading the Bible.
Right.
Now truth ain't on CNN or NBC or ABC or even FOX. Truth is in the Word of God. That is the only undeniable truth right there. That's God's Word. And here's a man seeking God, and he said, if you seek me, you'll find me. You know, when I started getting convicted by the Holy Ghost that I was lost, going to hell and all to go, when I started seeking truth. When I was growing up, I grew up in the 60s and the 70s. We sang about love. We never experienced it. We sang about truth. We didn't know what that was. Amen. And but then March 5th, 1978, as I had heard the scripture and began to listen to the scripture, God revealed truth to me through his word. Now, look, you can't get it out of his creation. Creation declares the glory of God. The sun came up this morning. It'll come up tomorrow morning. I don't care what political group you follow. That sun's going to come up tomorrow. That's his creation. God declares his glory in his creation. You can't look at those stars at night and say there is no God. If you do, the Bible says you're a fool. I mean, why, lost and going to hell, I knew better than that. I ain't a big bang, you know. Well, who made the firecracker that banged? You know, that's just stupid. Amen. Now, we know where it's in a desert. We know who the African man. He must have been a seeker of truth. He must have been thirsty in his spirit. And he was not full of pride. He had already humbled himself to a Jewish preacher. He wanted eternal life, but he couldn't figure it out. How do I get this eternal life? He knows he's not going to live forever. He's already seen enough people die. He knows that. You have too.
Right.
He's not going to live forever. And if he already knows that if he dies and there's a holy and a righteous God, he wasn't going to heaven.
That's right.
It only takes one sin to stay out. That's all it takes. And you say, well, I've never sinned. Well, you just did. You lied. Listen, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So he was a seeker of truth. He wanted to know truth. He wanted to know God. He wanted eternal life. He was thirsty. And Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come unto me.
Yes.
He said, I'll give you water that you'll never thirst again in John chapter 4.
Amen.
Well, I remember when I was thirsty growing up, I wanted to know the truth. I wanted to know what was right and what was wrong. I wanted to know what is good and what is bad. I did not know. I didn't grow up in a church like a lot of you. I never had a daddy. My mama was just quiet most of the time. She was just quiet, you know. And we're so mean anyway. Wasn't nobody there that got argued me and my brother. But the point being, here's a man that's looking for it. And I dare say there's people in this room today and all over this world today that's looking for truth. You want to know the truth. You want to know if you died, you'd go to heaven. You want to know right from wrong. You want to know what God would have you to know. Well, I got good news for you. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. He was right on the doorstep of heaven. He already had the Word of God. He was already seeking truth. All he needed to make one more step, and that was, Lord, I believe.
Yes.
That's it. That's all it took. He said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Romans 10:19 says, if you'll believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus and confess with your mouth that God's raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He said, for with the heart, the inner part of a person, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That's what makes you right with God. And with the mouth confessions made unto salvation, for the scripture saith, whosoever believes shall not be ashamed. Now, since I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior that day, as a 20-something-year-old boy, I've never been ashamed of Jesus. Now, I'm sure if there's anything like him being ashamed of people, he's probably been ashamed of me. But I've never been ashamed of him. Now, when? When did all this happen? Well, this happened at the beginning of the church age. She escaped. This beginning at the church age. Listen, this beginning of the gospel of grace age, where you can be saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for you're saved by grace. That means undeserved love. Yeah. Through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God.
Yes.
Not of works. Lest any man should boast. You can't light enough candles. You can't go to enough religious ceremonies. You can't give enough money. You can't say enough prayers. You can't do enough penance. Now, the news media and all want me to repent of something that even my great-grandfather didn't do anyway. But of something that somebody did 150 years ago, they want me to repent for that. I don't have to do that. But you can repent all you want to. You can repent for all the black people. You can repent for all the red people and the yellow people and the white people and the polka-dotted people and the striped people and still die and go to hell.
Yes.
For by grace are you saved.
That's right.
That not of yourself. You're going to have to put every bit of it on Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. That's it.
You know, that day I got saved, I didn't know it. I didn't know one Bible verse. I didn't even know him. I knew Amazing Grace because Linda Ronstadt or somebody sang it on public radio, and they made a top hit out of it. If you're old enough to remember that, you're pretty old. But they played it on the intercom in junior high school. That's how old it was. And but you can repent, you can sing, you can pray, you can do good works. But without Jesus Christ, you're not going to be saved. And I knew I was never going to be saved. And I was like the Ethiopian eunuch. I was seeking. I was seeking. I wanted to know how to be saved. It was a great time of revival. A lot of people were getting saved in Jerusalem. It was also a time of great persecution. If you believed, you lost everything you had.
Yes.
Your family disowned you. You lost your property. You lost your place and position in society. It's almost like that again, isn't it?
Amen.
In Acts chapter 8, listen, I'm not going to go there because I'm running out of time, but in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, verse 4 through 8, verse 12 talks about thousands of people being saved. Thousands. We hear two or three every now and then nowadays. But it was a time of great revival. God's Spirit was being felt everywhere in the city of Jerusalem. And people were being convicted. Jesus said, you can't come to the Father unless the Spirit draws you. And this man had already been convicted. He'd been drawn by the Holy Spirit of God. Let me tell you what I heard when I went to church those five times before I got saved. Well, listen, five times in 3 years before I got saved, I went to church. Listen to what I heard. The preacher would be preaching on you ought to love your neighbor as yourself. This is what I'd hear in my heart. Ron, you need to get saved. And the preacher would preach, all right, you ought to be a good church member. You ought to dress like this and look like this. All I heard was, Ron, you're going to go to hell. Ron, I want to save you. Ron, I want to give you eternal life. And the preacher be preaching over here. And I felt, well, I'm going to do it over here because he won't mind if I do it over here. I felt like he was preaching right at me, just like I do you every time you come down here. I sit right there. I preach. I told him to forget everything he learns at school except how to get a job. But, ain't that right, Mama? Amen. You don't want him living in the basement, do you? Amen. Y'all didn't build a basement in that house, did you? Thinking ahead. Listen, God, the Holy Ghost, look, he can use a dog to bark to convict you.
Amen.
He can use a circumstance you're in to convict you. He can use a sickness. He can use wellness. He can use wealth or anything to convict you and draw you to Jesus Christ. Boy, when I'd have a good time, I'd go to church and that preacher would say, the only reason you're having a good time is because God's having mercy on you. I thought, man, I thought that was me having a good time. And here's this Ethiopian eunuch. He's out in the desert. In the, at the start of the church age, a time of great moving of God. But as always happens, Satan is attacking. People are being persecuted. People are being killed. They're being stoned for believing on Lord Jesus Christ. That always happens this way. Let me tell you something. All this mess that's going on around in our country right now, I'm looking for something great to happen because where the devil works, that means God's fixing to do something. Amen. Amen. It is bad. It is doom and gloom. Hey, if I didn't know better, I'd think it was over. But let me tell you something. I follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and if He's God enough to raise Himself from the dead, He's God enough to fix all this mess. Y'all follow whoever you want to. That's who I'm following. Amen. And then the what? What happened? What happened? What happened with this Ethiopian eunuch? What happened that he got baptized? What happened with a man that traveled all these hundreds of miles to hear the truth and then he left not getting the truth? What happened? I'll tell you what happened. God in His divine sovereignty and in His providence, God led a little old preacher down to the desert where there was no preacher. So he could reach one man.
Amen.
Listen, let me tell you something. I'm 66 years old. I know I look 36. But I'm 66. That's the way I see myself in the mirror. You see you how you want to. It's probably a lot better than I see you. But listen, 66, don't sit. That's why people don't sit on the front. But he don't come out enough to be offended. He lives elsewhere. He might be a eunuch himself traveling up here to hear the truth. Well, what happened? God will take somebody to reach somebody
right
with the gospel every time.
Amen.
You didn't get saved because you saw lightning.
Yeah. Right.
And after you got saved, you probably didn't see lightning that day either. You probably cried all day. You didn't get saved because you got a great job. That would probably drive you farther from it.
Right.
You didn't save because you married a Christian woman or a Christian man. Matter of fact, you'll probably ruin that for them if you don't get saved. You got saved because God sent somebody to tell you the good news that Jesus saved. You got saved because He convicted you of your sins and began to draw you to Himself. And He did that by the Word of God. You got saved because you received that. John 1:12 says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That truth drew you, and then that truth saved you because you believed it. Now, wait a minute, don't feel real good about yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about the gifts of the Spirit and talks about tongues and prophecies and all these things that people spend so much time on. But the last verse says, but now by the faith, hope, and love, these three.
Yeah.
And the greatest, that word charity, means the giving kind of love.
Yes.
Now, you know what that tells me? Faith is a gift of God.
Yeah.
March 5th, 1978, I walked in that church. I had no faith. I didn't know how to believe, like maybe you don't today. I was a seeker of truth, or I wouldn't have been there.
Right.
I did want to know about God, or I wouldn't have been there. But I had no faith. Faith, according to Hebrews, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things seen. And I was there because I could not see it, because I was blind, so I had no faith. But the moment I turned to Jesus, before I ever even prayed, the moment I decided I was a hell-bound sinner, and rightly so, because I had sinned. The moment I realized that and the Holy Ghost began to call me and I stepped out by faith, I received Christ right then. He gave me the faith. Now, I walked down that aisle and old Bully Faulkner, that big old preacher, if y'all remember him, that big, big, big heavy man, you know, he wrapped his arms around me and he was crying and other people was crying and I was crying. And I said, "Preacher, I got to get saved." He said, "He desires to save you." And they sent me in a room with another man named Wayne Henson. And Wayne took me through some scriptures to show me, A, admit I was a sinner for all have sinned. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, now shalt be saved. And C, confess it, call on Him, ask Him to save you. And I did that, but you, and then I got the assurance that God had saved me. But you know what? He gave me the faith. Sixth pew on the left-hand side, Marshfield, 1978, about 12:15. The moment I turned to Him, He put saving faith in me. Now you know, I'm not a great Christian. I'm not the best Christian in this room. I'm really not. I'm not trying to be humble. I'm being truthful. I'm not the best Christian in this room. Certainly not. Today's Father's Day. God bless you, fathers. I'm not even the best father in this room. I wouldn't even want to be in the contest. And sometimes I've had a lot of doubts. I've had a lot of doubts about being a good husband, being a good father, being a good preacher, being a good pastor. But I'm going to tell you one thing I've never doubted since March 5th, 1978 is the day that He saved me, and I've never had a doubt. You know why? He put that faith in me. That's what He did. I didn't do that. I walked in there lost. I'd have walked out lost if God had not intervened in my life that day. And that's what happened out in that desert that day. So when I went to church that night, me and my wife went. She grew up in Presbyterian church. She'd already been sprinkled. They claim all that counts is top of the head anyway. But she got, hey, listen, she got saved as a little girl, and she got her assurance after I got saved. And then we came to church that night, and that pastor, Bully Faulkner, said, "Y'all, you come to get baptized?" I said, "I don't know. Am I supposed to get baptized?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Let's do it." He said, "You got to change the clothes." I said, "I got clothes on." I didn't know. I'd never seen a baptism. I didn't really know what he meant. I just knew if this goes along with my faith, I'm happy to do it.
Right.
I joined the church. Nobody had to make me join the church. Nobody had to make me go to Sunday school. Nobody had to make me read my Bible or pray. I'm just happy to be there.
Yes.
And he sent his son-in-law across the street to the parsonage and got a pair of pants and shirt. And his son-in-law probably weighs now about 75 pounds more than I do. And back then he probably weighed 30 pounds more than I do. And they brought him out there and I took those pants and I put a big old fold in them. And I put that my belt on them and I put that big old heavy. And me and my wife got baptized that night professing faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I was saved March the 5th, 1978.
Amen.
You know why I got baptized? Because Jesus said, "If you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before this sinful and zealous generation." Now, maybe you've been saved, but you've never been baptized. Let me encourage you. Now, baptism don't make you more saved, but it sure give you a good assurance in your heart that you're right with God. And it'll be a good testimony. See, David brought some of you today. Amanda brought some of you today. You know why they did that? Not to show you their great work of baptism, but to show you their faith in Jesus Christ. You see, when I put you under, you're being buried in the likeness of His death. And then when you come up, you're being resurrected in the likeness of His resurrection. And that's your testimony of your faith. But it's more than that. When I put you under, it's in the likeness of your death.
Thank you.
And the resurrection of a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature."
That's right.
And all those things pass away and all things become new. And that's their testimony of their faith in Christ and that they are now born again, a new creature. They were already born again before they got in there. That was for you. Maybe you've never been baptized. So here's the most important thing. Have you ever been saved? Now I meet people all the time. Listen, I'm through. I'm just meddling, okay? Listen, I meet people all the time and I say, "Are you saved?" First thing they'll say, "I've been baptized."
Yeah.
And I said, "That's not the question I ask you." My preacher used to say, "You can get baptized in the top of a river till you know every minister by his first name, still die and go to hell." If baptism did it, we're going to have a heaven full of catfish. you ever been born again? Have you ever done what the baptism represents? Have you died to yourself, humbled yourself, turned to God and said, God, I'm a hell-bound sinner. I ought to go, but I don't want to go. And I believe Jesus lived a life I can't live. And he died in my place because the wages of sin is death and he never sinned. And he rose again the third day to prove that he was God and he was victorious over death, hell, and the grave. So I can be victorious over death, hell, and the grave. That's what I believe. That's my faith. Now today you may not be saved, and I'm not putting a finger on you. I don't know you. I tell people all the time. People call me and say, we got your name on here for a reference for this man to get a job. Don't ever do that, okay? Here's what I tell them. What do you think about him, preacher? I say, well, everything I know about him's good. Oh, yeah. I say, yeah. When he comes to church, he's got on his best clothes. He's got on his best attitude. Him and his wife ain't fussing. He ain't mad at his kids. Everything seems to be real good when I see him. But I ain't never seen him work. So you can come in here and look real good and act real good and go out and still die and go to hell without a Savior. I can't tell. I don't know who is and who ain't. But I know I am. And here's a perfect story of another sinner the same way. Admit you're a sinner. Put it on Jesus Christ. Say, Jesus, if I die and go to hell, it's going to be trusting you and nothing else. And I guarantee you, you'll go to heaven. He'll change your life. Let's stand. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your inerrant, inspired, infallible word. Now, bless the invitation. Lord, I'm showing the crowd this size. There might be somebody here who's not a believer. Oh, they believe, but they haven't believed unto the saving of their soul. They've never turned their eternal life over to Jesus Christ, and they've never asked him to save them. I pray you'd move them today. Do them like you did me. Give them courage to take that first step. And when they take that step, your faith will be poured into them. And we can just give them some scripture to give them assurance of that faith when they get here. And then, Lord, there's some here, they probably grew up in church, might have got saved at an early age, but this baptism reminded them they're not where they ought to be with you. They wandered off. They used to go to church. They used to go to Sunday school. They've been baptized. They've trusted Christ. But something's happened. I pray, God, you set them free from whatever it is that's bound them so you can love them like you want to. And then, Lord, there's probably some here today who's just confused. They've never heard anything like this before. And I pray you'd help them, Lord. Oh, Lord, when they leave here, don't let them give up seeking truth. Don't let them give up seeking the Savior and salvation. And then one day we're going to get to heaven and we'll understand all this stuff. But until then, Lord, help us to draw nigh to Thee. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn while we're singing. Our altar is always open. You can come pray for yourself or somebody else. If you need to be saved, I'm going to stand right here. And if you'll come up here, I'll get the scriptures. We'll go in a room real private. And I'll get the scriptures and help you. What song is it?
Open your hymn books to 284.
284. 284. Come on. Some of you need to be praying for us. Thank God these had their eyes open. What about others?